It's the My Michelle Live podcast.
My Michelle Live, Sci Tech Talk, taking the God story to a geeky place. Here's Michelle.
Well, welcome, welcome. We are today taking on health, taking on science, and looking at some of the latest news. I'm going to introduce to you our guest in just a moment. I am so delighted to have an expert because there are more questions than there are answers, or should I just say that the answers are so perplexing that we really don't seem to know what is up and what is down. But we are making a lot of mandates in the meantime. Pfizer and BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccination became the very first in the nation to get FDA approval this week by the Food and Drug Administration, of course. Now, that may open the door for more of these mandates, making business owners the enforcers. The federal health bureaucracy is encouraging businesses and local governments to mandate vaccines. Now, to set the stage, we have been under emergency authorization of this vaccine and some of these measures. But now that the FDA has approved this vaccine, many states and cities that have demanded some of these policies may get their boost if we see legislation, and city councils extend these measures. But many people are looking at this whole fiasco and wondering when we fell down the rabbit hole. 13,000 people have died as a result from the vaccine. Are you kidding me? And that's from the government's own VAERS reporting system. There's some 17,000 people left disabled permanently. So for crying out loud, what's going on here and what about the efficacy? Either it works or it doesn't. So why are we wearing masks? Oh, there's so many questions. So looking through all of this, some of the legal ramifications and what you can do and know, knowledge is power. So enter Dr. Marilyn Singleton. She's a board certified anesthesiologist and the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons board member. Now, this is fabulous because her extensive knowledge also extends into the legal field. While she was still working in the operating room, somehow she was able to attend UC Berkeley Law School, focusing on constitutional law and administrative law. She's interned at the National Health Law Project and practiced insurance and health law. I'm not sure there's anything she can't do, but boy, that does give you a wonderful base to address some of the craziness that's going on. Dr. Singleton, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, here we are in this world and people's heads are reeling. We're being told that we all need to be vaccinated. You don't get a chance to breathe. And you wrote a fabulous piece citing Patrick Henry's June 4th, 1788 speech, A Wrong Step Now and the Republic Will Be Lost Forever. And in that piece, he pleaded for less power to the federal government. But it seems like this coronavirus has done nothing but give unbridled power.
I would say you're absolutely right. It's interesting because we have a history of passing legislation because of some crisis and some facts. There's a kind of an expression in the law that says good facts make bad law. And that's when there's some sexy facts or something that scares people or puts them on edge, then you can come up with a law. The thing that's really strange about COVID, we've gone beyond making people do things because Congress quickly passed law. These things they're telling us to do aren't even laws. They're guidance, recommendations. There are things that come from agencies. Technically, We really need a legislature, whether it be state or federal, to pass a law before they start telling us all these things we have to do. And this is one of the reasons that these governors are hanging on to calling the COVID outbreak an emergency. So they're acting under their emergency powers. It certainly doesn't qualify as an emergency anymore. Perhaps in the beginning, when people didn't know what was going on and it appeared people were getting very sick and nobody seemed to know what to do with them, et cetera. Okay, I'll give you that. Let's call it an emergency. Yeah. As this year and a half has gone on, we have effective treatments. We know what the disease is. We know what the disease process is, that it has stages, early stages before you get terribly sick and different treatments for each stage. All this has been worked out. So in my view, it certainly doesn't need to be an emergency. And I'm sure if politics weren't involved, these governors wouldn't still call it an emergency. And it's just a way for them to seize power.
We're not allowed to challenge that, though. I've been in YouTube jail many times and have had warnings and content taken off of social media. The media itself is not doing their job. You know, you may have wonderful expertise in medical and law. Mine is in the media. And it used to be a badge of honor to report a story in such a way that nobody knew that you were really passionate about one side or the other because you were giving all the facts. Now we're not doing that. And we're not allowing challenge. We're not even doing investigative reporting. All we're doing is regurgitating sound bites from other authorities and reading off press releases. So we're really not getting good information.
Oh, absolutely not. And it's sad to say that the media have become Pravda, the arm of the state. And we are not communist Russia. We are not communist China, but that's how we're acting. And the whole point of the media, you know, way back when it was called the Fourth Estate, and that was supposed to be what kept the clergy and the king and everybody honest, and that let all of us plebs, all of us serfs, know what was going on with the king. And now the king and the media have become one and the same. And this is what's so disheartening, because our First Amendment and our ability to speak out in the public square is what our whole country was founded on. That's why it's the First Amendment. Without freedom of speech, you have nothing. And to see this eroded for a health reason makes it doubly disgusting. Let's leave COVID as a medical problem, a health problem, but immediately it had been turned into a great political issue. It could be used to vilify one person or make one person look like a hero. And that's not the point of science and medicine. The point of science and medicine is to look for a way to treat patients and deeply delve in to the reasons, the physiology, the anatomy, all these things, to come out with a proper solution, not a political solution.
Well, we know that it had been a political football because we have played sound bites from the president, from the vice president, from the Speaker of the House, and from many other people who, when Trump was in office, the vaccine, no one's going to take it. Who's going to take it, right? And now everyone must take it. Nothing's changed about the vaccine. The only thing that's changed is who is in office. It should get us thinking. You mentioned the king having to have a bit of free press in order to shed sunlight on what he's doing. And yet in the White House, they not only do not have a mandatory vaccination, they are not even giving out information on how many of the White House staff are vaccinated. The same with Pfizer, same with Moderna, same with Johnson & Johnson, same with the CDC. So I guess what my question is if this is good for the goose, why isn't it good for the gander?
I think that's a very interesting question, because I think the goose knows that there's all these side effects and issues that are unclear. And this rushed FDA approval, do you realize this is the fastest approval in 115 years that the FDA has been doing? It's the fastest approval of a vaccine. The mumps vaccine was the fastest, and that was 5 years. And that's because the so-called phase four trials of vaccines is supposed to occur over several years to see what long-term effects are. We don't know. And in fact, the whole study was actually only 6 months, because after 6 months, and this just really boggles my mind, is they told the participants who were supposed to be the control group who got no vaccine that if they wanted the vaccine, they could take it. So essentially after 6 months, there was no control group anymore. So all the numbers that have come out of this study are suspect. And I hate it how if somebody tries to put some dots together that you're immediately called a conspiracy theorist. But it seems that all roads were leading to this vaccine. There was talk about censorship. Whenever doctors tried to talk about various treatments, no, we can't hear about that. And you know, one of the reasons you couldn't hear about it is in order to have an emergency use authorization, one of the rules for getting that is there cannot be another treatment. So of course they had to keep the treatments quiet so the vaccine could be pushed ahead. Meanwhile, there had been multiple studies on hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, an antidepressant called fluvoxamine, fenofibrate, which is an anti-lipid drug. All these things were being used and at various stages and with various people, they were highly effective. And when people step back and say, oh, but that didn't work on so-and-so and it didn't work on everybody, nothing works on everybody. I give drugs to people for a living, and believe me, just because it works well on one person doesn't mean it's going to work well on the next person.
Hence the vaccine that doesn't work well on everyone.
You know, so there's, you know, this idea that because a drug isn't perfect, that we can't use it on people or doctors can't even discuss it openly. It's un-American.
Well, and it's also hypocritical, because we know that the vaccines, as they're called, and even the definition of vaccine, it doesn't seem to fit. We can get into that, but we know that there are such great adverse effects, including heart issues, Bell's palsy, death, permanent disability in the thousands, and in some cases, tens of thousands. We're looking at adverse effects that have dwarfed all other vaccines combined. And yet we're concerned that something like ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine are, well, it may not be effective in everyone. That's just great hypocrisy, not to mention something that you brought up is the long-term effects. Now that we have the boxes, you open them up now of the vaccine. Used to be a paper that was supposed to have the warnings and you would open it and it was completely blank. Sorry. Now there's print on it, and many of that print, the small print, says, yeah, there's these problems, and part of the conditions are that we must have testing in some of the areas that have been the most problematic, but we won't have results for another 5 years or so. So how can we mandate and even coerce people when there's so little known?
Well, this is, and you say that it's almost a rhetorical question because they can do it, because they can. They have decided that we're still in a public health emergency. And these are the types of things that people can come up with, all the laws, the regulations, the legalities. But until one of these lawsuits goes all the way through, people, I look at some people who are just sitting ducks. I just heard this morning on a news briefing about Afghanistan that all branches of the military will now be mandated to have vaccines. So you start with the military, all these schools. The good thing is a lot of the unions are fighting against this, and at least unions have some sort of power that we as individuals sometimes don't, because individual parents, individual teachers, individual physicians have been fighting against these mandates. And this isn't to say that if somebody wants the vaccine, hey, go for it. Getting a vaccine, getting any drug, is a risk-benefit analysis. Mm-hmm. What is the risk of me getting a severe case of the disease? What are the risks that I might have from the vaccine? And we know from all these months, and we knew it pretty early on, that COVID is an age stratified problem. The older you are, the more likely you are to be ill from it. And it matters if you're a diabetic. And what's right at the top of the list? Obesity. The people who are on ventilators, by and large, are people who are massively obese. These things, none of these things were told to the public.
No, and we're not hearing any of that. We're not hearing
that at all.
Stay away from sugar because it breaks down your immune system. We're not hearing restaurants don't serve fat people pie because it's a contributor to obesity. We're not hearing that. Now, that sounds ridiculous, but we've come to a place where we have created an us and of them, though those of us who have had COVID have raging immunities, and they say, well, we don't know how long that will last. We don't know how long the vaccine will last, as now we're seeing, well, we need to have a booster. Another thing that you mentioned is the political side. When you have unions who are not traditionally conservative, because we've labeled this a conservative and left-wing issue, you have unions. They're not traditionally conservative. They're saying, yeah, wait a minute. You have the African-American community, the Blacks of America. They didn't vote for Trump, they say, in the last election. We're not talking about a mass of conservative. And yet this people group were told that they shouldn't have to have an ID to vote because that's racist. But yet this large people group, we would require a passport for them when we said they don't even know how to use the internet. How are they going to get groceries? They can't go to the store, right? So we've also determined they can't get access to the internet. It doesn't make sense. I say all this because it's just this wibbly wobbly craziness that doesn't have consistency. So while we need to take the politics out of it and get it back to a health issue, people are rightly concerned, and they should be. There is something called the Patient's Bill of Rights. What happened to that, doctor?
Oh, it went out the window. And all of us, certainly, you know, 99.99% of physicians, you're in medicine because you want to take care of patients and you want the patient to come first. That's your first concern. And that's what a lot of physicians are trying to do. Now, physicians may have differing opinions, but my goodness, we've had differing opinions for years. And I mean down to the science thing.
It's not science. You can't challenge things. Exactly. As with vaccines, I'm going to assume that you are pro-vaccine, that vaccines are useful and they're helpful and they're good. We also know that there have been adverse effects. We've seen that for years on the VARS site. That's fine. If we do not talk about it, we do not require these pharmaceutical companies to make better vaccines, to tweak the recipe so that it is safer. If we just say, oh, if you're controversial, you're a conspiracy theorist, we never shed sunlight. So you're quite right. Y'all don't agree, doctors, on a lot of things, but that's good.
And like you say, Michelle, that is how things improve, from open discussion. Now, all we hear is, you're a moron. Well, nobody called anybody morons before just because you didn't agree. And you're right. Vaccinations have done wonderful things for the world. And what people are now, they're not anti-vax, which has become an ugly term, a pejorative term. It's anti no informed consent, anti no transparency, all the things that's happening with this current whole COVID epidemic is nothing's been transparent. People haven't been able to hear all sorts of information that would have helped them out. Back in April, instead of closing gyms and telling people to stay in their houses, they already knew that people who had low vitamin D had worse cases of COVID. So get outside, get some sun, get some vitamin D. Then they discovered exercise improved your chances of doing well with COVID. Yet the gyms remain closed. Now don't, and they knew that far UVC light would kill the virus. Why don't you say, gyms, you can open, pay $1,200 to get some far UVC lights, put them around your gym, and let people get some exercise. Simple things that had nothing to do with big pharma could have been told to people. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, leave the pie alone. We all could stand to leave the pie alone and let people know what some healthier foods are. None of this was done. And we should have been told to try to boost our own immune systems. And that's not hokum. That's not weirdo alternative medicine stuff. That's basic good science.
Well put. I know that I sailed through COVID. I slept for 2 weeks. It's not fun. I'm not poo-pooing that it's a dangerous thing. But I had been prepared. As you had mentioned, the first couple of weeks, we didn't know. So, all right, just stay in. Let's just figure this out. But a couple of weeks to flatten the curve has turned into a couple of years. We have much more information now. And so when it was my turn, I knew the vitamins to take. I took more D. I got out. I laid out in the sun all alone. I had zinc. I did natural things. And I knew that there were medications should it take a bad turn. But we are enforcing a vaccine that we are finding, you're the doctor, so correct me if I'm wrong, that we're now finding that this respiratory disease, much like the flu, is with us now. And it's with us all year long. It's just waiting in the shadows for our immune system to get low so that it can have efficacy in our bodies. So while a vaccine is a good idea, like maybe the flu vaccine, there really is more to it that we're not hearing.
Well, one of the things that people knew early on, and the vaccine manufacturers said this early on, this is not a so-called perfect vaccine, meaning you do not get the disease at all. What they promised with this vaccine is that you would get less severe disease and it would decrease hospitalizations and death. That is what's in the new literature of the new vaccine. Comirnaty, as it's called. And that's what's always been in the literature. So they never said that you won't get COVID if you get the vaccine. The other thing that happens as, and it happens with most viruses, viruses want to live, so they mutate. If you do something to one, it's going to tweak itself a little bit so it can continue to find a host and live. And we had lots of different kinds of variants. I think, in India, they measured thousands when this whole thing first came out. And then some of the variants kind of died off and some became stronger than others. And here in the United States now, this so-called Delta variant, that was one that originated in India, has become the strong one. Well, at some point, Delta will sort of fizzle out, and then there's Lambda and Theta and Eta are already out there, and they may become dominant. And so this isn't just me, these are epidemiologists and virologists all say that we're going to have this type of coronavirus. And just so people know, coronavirus is a general term. There's seven known categories of them, out there, and four cause the common cold. So they've been around for years, and this happens to be another kind of coronavirus. So what we need to start working on is, how do we learn to live with it? It's not going to be eradicated. You notice people stop saying that, and I think a lot of virologists thought it was silly to even say that in the first place. It will continue to mutate, and hopefully it will just mutate down, meaning, you know, yeah, it might be infectious, just like Delta seems to be more infectious, but it doesn't seem to be more deadly. And just like a common cold, it's very infectious, but it's not very deadly. And that's what we can hope will happen with this particular.
How does that happen? Now, does that happen if maybe you get the vaccine and then your body produces a natural response that gives you better strength when you're exposed again? Or like me, I've had corona naturally. Will my immune system be, aha, we've seen something like this before. All right. Well, come on, bring it. We can fight this off and I won't have the 2 weeks down.
Well, interestingly, it's good that you brought that up, because now what's coming out is that the natural immunity is broader and stronger than the immunity that you get from the vaccine, because the current vaccine, and I'll say the current vaccine, because when they started trying to create them, I think there was 134 companies had something in production. So there's still stuff out there waiting for us to see, and they could be better, certainly better than what we have now. But so now they're studying that, and the natural immunity can see things that are similar and recognize it as what you had, whereas the vaccine is more specific. So unless it sees the exact thing that the vaccine was made for, it may not give you that much immunity. And that's certainly what they're finding with these so-called breakthrough cases. And I want people to know that when you talk about the Delta variant, when you go in and get tested for COVID, just random schmo goes in and gets tested, they're going to say you have the positive test for the SARS-CoV-2 virus. That's the virus that causes the disease COVID-19. Now, they don't know if it's Alpha, Delta, or the original wild strain. What the labs are doing is they're sending a sample of their positive cases. They're sending them back to the CDC, and the CDC is doing the genetic testing. So when we get a number where it says, 70% are Delta variant, that's an extrapolation of the samples that had been sent in.
So we don't really know the real numbers.
Regular labs aren't doing the genetic sequencing. It's still just you're positive or negative.
Wow. And not only that, we do also know that the CDC, which has data that the White House is quoting, is not releasing it. The White House is not releasing it. So, you know, this cloak of secrecy is what is so concerning. If they shed sunlight on it, vaccines would get better. People would have a little bit more trust. This is a problem. And I wanted to, in our final couple minutes, ask you about some of the legal ramifications, because there are people who are now having to fear for their livelihood and maybe even choose between, they may feel that they're at risk. Maybe even their doctor feels they're at risk if they get a vaccine. So they may have to choose between their life or putting food on the table for their family. This is beyond academics. This is serious. This is really hitting people where it hurts. Is there any hope for these people, or are there options?
One thing, and one recent lawsuit that was successful, was someone suing for not getting the vaccine because they already had COVID. Therefore, they had natural immunity. So that's going to be a great lawsuit. That happened in state of Virginia. And someone else is making that same lawsuit in California against the University of California. So that's good news. And always, employees can still use a religious exemption. And there's valid religious exemptions against these particular vaccines, and many places to get them. And it doesn't mean you have to be part of an organized religion, but it has to be a solid belief that you could defend to your employer. The employer has to give you a reasonable accommodation. Now, there's some people where they won't be able to do that. Let's say you're a healthcare worker. Yeah. There is no reasonable accommodation to treating patients. You could wear a shield and a mask and all this, but then that gets a whole nother show, as you know, are masks even effective? So that makes it tough for some jobs, but other jobs you could still work at home, or if you go in the office, you can be segregated. But at least you have your choice of not taking the vaccine.
Yeah, get to the back of the bus. It's kind of unfortunately conditioning us to turn our neighbors and our restaurant owners into brown shirts, and the rest of us, or those who are vaccinated, into the better race of people. And this is where your piece, and we will put it on our website, gives real thought to where we're going beyond the medical issue, beyond the COVID issue, right into what is happening to our freedoms. Today it's COVID, tomorrow it could be something else. When you have a bit of tyranny that works its way in, even though it seems like it's protecting you and it feels like a warm, fuzzy blanket, it is still a violation of your rights, and it threatens all of our ways of life. So I applaud doctors like you who are willing to be called morons, though the woman is a doctor and went to law school while she was practicing medicine. I mean, mind blowing, but you're willing to put yourself out there to say, now, wait a minute, we need to talk. And I want to thank you. You are one of my heroes. I just so appreciate you. And it's been such a delight to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Michelle. My pleasure.
Now, as you're watching, listening, or reading, you can go to My Michelle Live. You can read Dr. Singleton's piece. You can get much more information. No, you will not see it on YouTube, because I'm still in YouTube jail, but I appreciate you being part of the solution by being informed. Thanks for watching.
For more fun, go to MyMichelleLive.com.